Amen. How many's glad they belong to him this morning? Say amen. Let's take our Bibles and go to Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter number 2. It's a joy to be here with you today. It's an honor. We've been looking forward to coming and being with you for some time now. And months ago, your pastor called and said, Brother Taylor, would you be willing to fill in for me when I'm gone? I said, Preacher, you don't have to ask me twice. I'd love to. I'd be thrilled to do that. And so we are thrilled to be here with you this morning. And it's always a joy to be here. It's good to see many friends here. And saw Brother Patterson running around somewhere earlier and saw him at a distance. Got to meet him the other day at Southland. And old friends and new friends. So it's just a joy to be here. Appreciate you making us feel welcome. And you always give us a warm welcome. If you're a visitor here with us this morning, we say a special welcome to you as well. And if this is your first time here, let me encourage you to come back when the pastor's in town. He's a much better preacher than I am. And so you come back and hear him and meet him. But we're glad to have you here today. I'm glad to be here. Glad to have my beautiful wife, Jessica, with me and our little girl, Kylie. And glad to have some family members with us as well. And so thank you for making us feel right at home today. And I wish every church was like that. That's not always the case. I've been to some churches. They were so cold. The ushers wore ice skates to take up the offering. I'm serious. I've seen it. So I'm thankful that's not the case here at Worth Baptist Church. I certainly admire your preacher. I've told you that before, but I'll say it again. There's a lot of things I admire about him. But number one at the top of my list is the fact that he's a Bible preacher. And in a day and age when there's so much confusion and biblical illiteracy, even inside the church, I'm thankful for a man who has made a commitment to preach the Word and nothing but the Word and all the Word. Praise the Lord. If you're thankful for your preacher and your pastor this morning, would you say amen? Amen. I know you're looking forward to get him back, and he'll be back in just a few days. But thank you for allowing us to be here with you. I trust you'll join us back here again tonight for the evening service. And I'm going to preach some encouraging revival Bible messages today, and specifically a very simple revival message geared really more devotional. I didn't say I was given a devotion, but more a devotional type message that's going to encourage you. It's aimed at your relationship with Jesus Christ. When you come to Luke chapter 2, if you're familiar with your Bible, you know the Bible goes into great detail when it comes to the birth of Jesus. I'm sure just several months ago, there in Christmas time, your pastor, you as your family, you spent time together in the book of maybe Matthew or the book of Luke, and you read through the Christmas story and all the events that surround the birth of Christ. And you'll remember the Bible goes into great details surrounding all the events that surround his birth, the shepherd and the star and the manger in Bethlehem. And it goes into great detail surrounding his birth. But after Jesus is born, the Holy Spirit takes the curtain of Scripture and closes it on Jesus' life and does not open it again until he's 30 years old. At that point, Jesus comes out of obscurity. He's baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. He faces the devil in the wilderness and he begins his full-time public ministry. So for 30 years of his life, the curtain is closed on his life except for one time. When he was 12 years old, the Holy Spirit pulls back the curtain and gives us a glimpse of one event that took place when Jesus was 12 years old. And this morning, I want to read through that story. And I believe most everybody here has read through that story. And I'm sure most of us have passed over that, haven't given it much thought. But I believe if we would slow down just a little bit tonight, this morning, and unpack the truths, I think you'll find there's some wonderful revival truths that are found here in Luke chapter 2. Would you notice the Bible says in verse number 41, the Bible says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year. That's Mary and Joseph. They went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he, that was Jesus, was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother, stop right there. Did you notice it did not say his father and his mother? It said, and Joseph and his mother. You say, Brother Taylor, why does the Bible not say his father and his mother? Because Jesus was not the son of Joseph. Jesus was the Son of God. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Verse 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. 45. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Well, that sounds like revival to me. Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts today. I thank you for each and every person who has come to church this morning. Thank you for all the visitors that you sent to join us. I pray they feel right at home today. Lord, I pray if there be one among us today who has come to church, but they have never come to Christ, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, I pray that you would anoint the preaching this morning, anoint this service. Lord, I don't intend to preach long, but I pray that your word would find its place in our hearts and would change our lives this morning. Lord, I pray as I speak on the outside, you would speak on the inside. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some time ago, I found an article written years and years ago in a Memphis, Tennessee newspaper, long before everybody had a cell phone in their pocket. It said this: 5-year-old Tyler Payne was on his way home to Texas with his family after a Christmas visit with his grandparents in Knoxville when he took advantage of a service station stop in Nashville to use the restroom. The restroom door stuck, the family car pulled out, young Tyler was left behind. Glenn Payne and his wife Chris noticed a small absence among the 5 boys and 1 girl snoozing in the back of their station wagon about 2 hours later in Jackson, Tennessee. Back in Nashville, Tyler had been rescued by a woman who had heard him screaming for his mother. This is embarrassing, but I'm glad he's safe, said Payne, the boy's dad, an electrical engineer. Payne said the family usually does a head count before embarking, but he had turned the driving over to Mrs. Payne. Nobody counted, but sobs turned to smiles when Tyler saw his family once again. The last line of the article ends with a quote from young Tyler who said this: I'm never going to the bathroom again. And I'm sure we've all been on one side of that equation or another, but here in the Word of God this morning in Luke chapter 2, we have an almost identical story, except the parents were Mary and Joseph, and the child they left behind was the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you and I consider who Mary and Joseph were and what kind of Christians they were, and the fact that they got away from the Lord Jesus Christ and had to turn back again seeking Him, I think there's some pretty clear revival truths for our lives here this morning. This morning I'm going to preach on this subject: where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Would you notice with me, number one this morning, I see the departure. I see the departure. Notice the Bible says in verse number 41, and I want to paint a picture of what kind of people Mary and Joseph were. The Bible says in verse 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. God had some special meetings in the Old Testament calendar. There were some special feasts that he required his people to attend every year, and one of those was the feast of the Passover. Now, you remember what the Passover was all about, don't you? There in the book of Exodus, God's people were in the bondage of slavery, in the bondage of the Egyptians, and they cried out to God and said, God, would you send a deliverer? And God sent a deliverer by the name of Moses, and Moses delivered those people out of the bondage of slavery. And by the way, Moses is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, aren't you glad that when you was in the bondage of your sin, hey, and you had no help, and you know had no hope, and you couldn't save yourself, you cried out for a deliverer, and God sent a deliverer, and Jesus Christ came to save you. He came to deliver you. He came to liberate you and set you free from your sin this morning. Boy, I feel like preaching a little bit. Hey, aren't you glad for a deliverer by the name of Jesus Christ? And so on that night, God used Moses, but he also used the 10 plagues, and that final plague was the Passover, and God commanded his people to take a spotless lamb. Hey, a lamb without blemish. It had to be a perfect lamb. Hey, that's a picture of the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, the Bible says of Jesus, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hey, 1 John says he was manifested to take away our sin. In him is no sin. It was a picture of the sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they took that spotless lamb, that lamb without blemish, and they would have slit that lamb from ear to ear, and they would have taken that blood of that sacrificial lamb, and they were required to literally place it on the doorpost of their homes. They had to place the blood on the doorpost of their home. Now listen to me. You couldn't apply it to your neighbor's home. Your neighbor couldn't apply it to your home. You had to apply it to your own personal home. May I say this? Every man has to have a personal relationship with Jesus for himself. Just because your granny went to heaven, it doesn't mean that you're automatically going to heaven. God doesn't have any grandkids. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ for yourself. And may I say this? We're saved by the blood of Jesus. The Bible says, goes on to say, on that Passover night, God said at midnight, the death angel's going to pass over. And he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Can I remind you that we're still saved by the blood of the Lamb? The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Hey, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hey, I'm thankful that we're saved by the blood of the crucified one. You say, what are you saying this morning? I'm saying I'm thankful that there is a fountain filled with blood, a draw from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. And may I say this as well? One day the death angel is going to come for you. And the question will be asked on that day, has the blood of Jesus Christ been applied to this man's sin? Has the blood of Jesus Christ been applied to this woman's sin? Oh, if you're here this morning and you say, if I were to die right now, preacher, I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure if I'd go to hell. Let me encourage you right here at the Worth Baptist Church this morning, when the invitation is given, you can take a trip to Calvary, and by faith, you can apply the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to your sin, and you can be forgiven this morning, and you can be saved, and you can walk out of here with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven. And boys, on that night, the Passover, they were set free and God's people were liberated and they begin their journey throughout the Old Testament scriptures. But God said from that point on, every year they were to gather together and have a feast and remember what God did for them on that night. By the way, who thinks it's a good idea to often remember the night and the day that you got saved? And so the Bible says here that Mary and Joseph went every year to Jerusalem. They would make that three-day trek, that three-day hike, all the way to Jerusalem to celebrate that feast of the Passover. It was like a time of spiritual revival, a spiritual renewal. It would remind them of what God had done for them and the Jewish people. They went every year. But may I also say this? Here's another interesting fact. Only the males were required to attend. But the Bible says that Mary and Joseph, his parents, went to Jerusalem every year. You know what that tells me? Listen, Mary didn't have to go, but Mary went anyway. You say, preacher, why did Mary go to the Feast of the Passover when she was not required to go to the Feast of the Passover? Listen to me, because Mary had a heart for the things of God. Hey, can I say this in 2018? We got a bunch of young ladies in our church and a bunch of young mamas in our church and a bunch of young wives in our church that are enamored with the Kim Kardashians and whoever else you want to fill in the blank there. God, give us some ladies this morning that have a heart for the things of God. Boy, we don't pray to Mary. We don't worship Mary. She was a sinner in need of salvation just like you and I are. But may I say this? We ought not neglect her either. There was something special about that woman, that God would look at a heaven and choose that young lady to give birth to the Savior of the world. And you ladies would do well to study her life sometime. Listen, she was raised in a town called Nazareth. It was a perverted city and a polluted city. It was a rare thing for a young woman to be raised up in a city like that and retain her purity. Boy, give us some women that have a heart for the things of God. Let me just go ahead and ask you today, ladies, do you have a heart for the things of God? Listen, you can fool your preacher. You can fool your friends. You can fool everybody else at church. But I tell you one person you're not going to fool, you ain't going to fool your kids. I wonder if I were to ask your kids, ma'am, what are the top five things your mama loves? I wonder what your kids would say this morning. What does your mama love? Well, she loves Instagram. She posts about 14 times a day. Well, she loves Netflix. She's on there about 18 hours a day. Well, she loves America's Got Talent. She loves The Bachelor. She loves social media. She loves Facebook. Come on now. What would your children say this morning if I asked them what are the top five things that your mama loves? If you're here this morning and I was concerned that somewhere in that top five answers was not God, Jesus, prayer, Bible, church, come on now. Is it okay to preach on a Sunday morning at Worth Baptist Church? If my kids didn't answer something spiritual within the top five answers, I'd be concerned this morning. I'm saying, God, raise up some ladies in our churches in 2018 that have a heart for the things of God. every year they went to the feast of the Passover. So here's what I want you to understand. We're not talking about Ahab and Jezebel for crying out loud this morning. We're talking about faithful people. Come on now. We're talking about committed people. We're talking about dedicated people. But listen to me. Here in our passage this morning, they got away from the Lord. Do you realize that committed people and faithful Christians and even dedicated Christians that are always involved in the things of God, that are always around here? I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm talking about work days. I'm talking about behind those very same Christians. Watch it now. They too can get away from the Lord. You say, Brother Taylor, how does that happen? I believe in our text this morning, we see that Mary and Joseph made three mistakes that, listen to me very closely, cost them the presence of Jesus in their life. Now, I didn't say they lost their salvation. I'm not talking about that because the Bible never talks about that. Amen. Hey, the Bible says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. But how many knows in the Christian life we can get away from the Lord? We can get distant from the Lord. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Mary and Joseph made three mistakes that cost them the presence of the Lord in their life. And if you make these same three mistakes, it'll cost you the presence of the Christ in your life as well. The first mistake I see, very practical devotional this morning, I see this: constant speeding. Constant speeding. You say, what do you mean? Notice verse number 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind. There's the key words. Tarried behind in Jerusalem. Boy, Mary and Joseph, they gone every year. I mean, they've been there. I got the t-shirt. I mean, it was just almost routine now. It's just out of habit. They did it every single year. And so you can imagine, when it was all said and done, they had one thing on their mind, and that was to get back home and to get on with work and to get on with life. But the Bible says here that Jesus tarried behind. You say, preacher, what does it mean to tarry behind? Anybody here have a wife? Anybody here ever been shopping with her? Then you know what it means to tarry behind. Let me tell you something. When I go to Walmart, and I try to avoid that at all costs, but when I go to Walmart, friend, I'm like a man on a mission. I like to get in, get what I need, and get out as fast as I can. Amen. Hey, praise God for the man who invented the self-checkout line. I mean, get in and get out. Not my wife, son. Listen, if she says, I need to go to the mall today, would you take me? Listen, you better pack a lunch, amen? I mean, you're going to be there a while. You better find a seat and get comfortable. Listen, she likes to go in. She wants to try everything on. She wants to look at the clearance rack. She's pulling up coupons on the cell phone. She likes to take her sweet time. Listen to me, Mary and Joseph. Hey, they were in a hurry to get back home. Jesus wasn't in a hurry. And because they were in a hurry, watch it now, it cost them the presence of Jesus in their life. Listen to me, constantly speeding will cost you the presence of Jesus in your life. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about rushing through your Bible reading. I'm talking about speeding through your prayer time. Hey, I'm talking about showing up 30 seconds before the service starts and making a beeline out the back door after the last amen. Hey, the old songwriter said, take time to be holy. Hey, A.W. Tozier said, the man that would know God must give time to him. Hey, Psalm chapter 1, verse number 2 says, but in his law does he delight. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Friend, that doesn't sound like somebody rushing through their devotions to me. Could it be the reason that you're not close to Jesus this morning? Be because you're just not taking time with him like you ought to. See, some of you read your Bible every morning, but listen to me, come lunchtime, you can't remember one thing that you read. And day after day, that becomes your habit and that becomes your routine. Oh yes, I read my Bible today, but I didn't really spend time meditating on it and applying it and learning how I could live it out in my life. Friend, maybe God would just speak to your heart today and say, you need to slow down and take time with me. Constant speeding will cost you the presence of Jesus in your life. Notice the second mistake I believe they made as well. The second mistake I believe they made was this, a crowded schedule. A crowded schedule. Notice again verse number 43. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Boy, a lot's changed in 2,000 years, hasn't it? I mean, technology, everything, you can't even keep up with it anymore. It's changing so fast. But may I say one thing that has not changed in 2,000 years? Our mamas. Mamas have always been the same. Let me ask you a question. What was going on in Mary's mind as they're finishing up the feast of the Passover? Now they're headed back home. Well, what was going on in her mind? Well, let me ask you, ma'am, what goes on in your mind when you finish up a trip and you're headed back home? Boy, she's thinking, boy, I got to get home, and I got to get the clothes in the wash. I got to get the house put back in order. I got to get things ready for the upcoming week. Joseph's thinking, boy, I bet work is piling up at the carpenter shop. I mean, I got voicemails to reply back to and emails to respond back to. Listen, it was not sin. It was just the cares and the concerns of life that cost him the presence of Jesus. My pastor has two sons. And when they were young, he just for his family decided this. Now don't cause a riot when I say this, but he said for his family, he said, boys, we're not going to be one of these families that play sports all year round. He says, we're not going to be one of these families that go baseball, basketball, and football, and soccer, just one thing to another, one practice to another. Heaven help us if they make the playoffs. I mean, it's just nonstop all the time. He said, for our family, we're going to play basketball, and that's it. He said, furthermore, on Saturday nights, we're not going to go anywhere else, and no one else is going to come over here. We're going to spend time together just as a family and prepare ourselves for Sunday morning. You say, ugh, that sounds kind of harsh. How them kids turn out? Well, you tell me how they turned out this morning. Kyle just graduated from our Christian school 2 years ago, got hired on by J.B. Hunt, one of the larger corporations in Northwest Arkansas, making good money for an 18, 19-year-old kid. He's got a burden for his coworkers. He's had coworkers as visitors in church with him on our big days. His younger son, Kyle, just graduated a couple of months ago from our Christian school. He's worked at church camp all summer long. This fall, he's going to go to Bible college and study to train for the ministry. You tell me how they turned out this morning. Here's the point. He's not against sports. He's for sports. He's not against having a good time. He's for fellowship. But listen to me. Too many good things in life can cost you the best thing in life. And maybe the reason you're not close to Jesus, and maybe the reason your family is not close to Jesus, it may be because you're just flat too busy. Not sin, not evil. Just too many good things. Maybe God would have you to step back this morning and analyze your life and reprioritize your life and say, we got too much going on and it's hurting our relationship with God. The third mistake I believe they made here, we'll move on, is this, a careless spirit. The careless spirit. Notice in verse number 44, but they supposing, there's the key word, but they supposing him to have been in the company when a day's journey. In Bible times, they traveled in two groups. All the men were in one group, and all the women and children were in another group. When you turned 12 years old, the transition to manhood took place in that Jewish culture. And the Bible says that Jesus was 12 years old. Can't you see what happened? Here's Joseph and the rest of the men. He looks around, doesn't see Jesus. Well, I guess he's with Mary. Here's Mary and the rest of the children. Looks around, doesn't see him. I guess he's with Joseph. And the Bible says they just supposed that he was in the company. Listen to me, nobody made for sure. Nobody double-checked. Nobody confirmed it. They just supposed. And because of their careless spirit, it cost him the presence of Jesus in their life. Could it be this morning the reason that you're not close to Jesus be because you've developed a careless spirit in your relationship with him? Have you gotten careless in your Bible reading? Have you gotten careless in your devotional life? Have you gotten careless in your walk with him? Have you gotten careless about keeping sin out of your life and keeping your heart in tune with the Holy Spirit? Have you gotten careless in your Christian life? Could that be the reason this morning why you're not as close to Jesus as you used to be? Well, we're not careless about any other thing in life, are we? If I was going to fly from here to London this afternoon, I'm not just going to suppose I got enough fuel in the tank. Hey, I'm going to make sure that I got enough fuel in the tank. Can I make an application here? If you're here without Jesus Christ, how many people have I talked to? And have you talked to when I ask the question, if you were to die right now, are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Well, I hope so. Well, I guess so. Well, I suppose so. Friend, you're on dangerous ground. But the good news is, 1 John says, these things are written, listen to me, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Friend, if you trust Christ this morning, you don't have to guess you're going to heaven. You don't have to wonder if you're going to heaven. You don't have to hope if you're going to heaven. You can know that you're going to heaven, because the Bible says that you can know. Hey, Christian, don't just suppose you're right with God. Know that you're right with God. Don't just suppose that you're close to Jesus. Know that you're close to Jesus. A careless spirit will cost you the presence of Jesus in your life. Number one, we see the departure. Number two, notice with me this morning, we see the distress. We see the distress. When Mary and Joseph got away from the Lord, listen, they suffered some consequences. And listen, anytime you get away from the Lord in your life, you will suffer some consequences. The first consequence they suffered was time. It cost them time. Notice it goes on to say in verse number 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. The Bible says they traveled a whole day and they realized that he wasn't with them. At that point, they traveled a whole day back to Jerusalem. At that point, the Bible says it took 3 days before they found him. Once they found him, it took a whole nother day to travel to where they were when they originally realized that he was no longer with them. Listen, I don't care how you slice and dice the map this morning. Bare minimum, it took them 3 days to find Jesus. One old country preacher that put it this way, he said, you go one day away from Jesus, it'll take you 3 days to get back to him. Now listen, if you have sin in your life, the Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive it. He'll forgive it as fast as you'll confess it. But can I be transparent? Can we keep it real here this morning? What I found in my life, what I found in this preacher's life, is that I can get away from Jesus real quick, but it takes some time to restore that close, intimate fellowship once again. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about getting back to the place in your life when you pray and it doesn't feel awkward. I'm talking about getting back to the place in your life when you read your Bible, not because you have to, but because you want to. Listen to me. You go one day away from Jesus, it'll take you 3 days to get back to him. It takes some time to restore that close, intimate fellowship once again. You say, well, I just don't have time to read my Bible. I'm going to save time. No, anytime that you neglect your time with Jesus, you're not saving time, you're losing time. It'll cost you time. Number two, it'll cost you torment. It'll cost you torment. Notice in verse number 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Boy, you begin to unpack that word sorrowing there. You'll find it's also translated as the word torment in Luke chapter 16. You say, what's Luke chapter 16? That's the chapter on hell. And over again, it says hell's a place of torment. Hell's a place of torment. Well, this takes on a whole new meaning now that I have a child. And how many of you that hold older kids have not been at Walmart at one time or the other and turned around to see if your kid was there and he wasn't there? Maybe they ran off or got distracted. They're on the other aisle. They were lagging behind. And just for a split second, your heart dropped. How many knows what I'm talking about? All of a sudden, your heart filled with panic and fear and anxiety. Where's my child at? Listen to me. Mary and Joseph were not separated for just a few moments. They were not separated for just a few minutes or just a few hours. They were separated for 3 days and three nights. I promise you, you as a parent, you know this. Those were three sleepless days and three sleepless nights. For 3 days and three nights, their heart was distressed. Their hearts were filled with fear and anxiety and worry. Listen to me, there was no peace in their hearts for those 3 days and those three nights. Can I say this? The most miserable days of your life will be when you're farthest away from Jesus. Could it be this morning the reason you lack peace in your life be because you lack his presence in your life? Well, I can remember the times in my life when I was far from God. Listen to me, I was miserable, and I was making everybody around me miserable. What sweet fellowship and joy and peace came over my heart when I came back to Jesus to restore that close, intimate fellowship once again. Number one, we see the departure. Number two, we see the distress. And lastly, number three, and I'll shut her down right here, we see the discovery. We see the discovery. You say, Brother Taylor, I feel as in my life, I identify more than I care to admit with Mary and Joseph this morning. Well, here lately, I've been reading my Bible. I haven't been spending time with God like I ought to. Brother Taylor, I mean, think with work and kids and activities and things have just gotten busy for us lately. Brother Taylor, I to be honest with you, I hadn't been as serious about my Christian life as I have been in the past. And as a result, I'm no longer as close to Jesus as I used to be, and His presence no longer seems to be in my life. You say, Brother Taylor, how do I get back to Jesus? How do I restore His presence into my life again? Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 45, and when they found Him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking Him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found Him in the temple. Boy, I hate to lose anything. Anybody else like that? Drives me up the wall to lose my keys, my phone. You ever been looking for something, maybe in the living room, you lost the remote or whatever, and you've got the whole couch cushions tore up and the whole living room's a mess, and someone walks in and they ask the question, well, you looking for something? Well, what gave that away? Yes, I'm looking for something. And maybe you got a spouse that's just real helpful, they're just a real blessing, and they'll say something like this, oh, well, what are you looking for? I'm looking for my car key, I'm looking for my cell phone. And they'll say something like this, oh, I know where it's at. Well, I'd be interested in knowing, where's it at? And they'll say something like this, the last place you left it. Oh, boy, well, that's real helpful. Thanks a lot. But you know what the reality is? It's usually the last place you left it. You know what was in the temple? The Word of God and prayer were in the temple. Listen to me, if you're away from Jesus this morning, you probably won't find Him at the Red Box. You probably won't find Him on Netflix this afternoon. You probably won't find Him on Facebook this afternoon. But I can guarantee you where you can always find Him. You can always find Him in the Word of God and in prayer. You mark it down. He's exactly where you left Him. Father, we love You this morning. Father, every Christian here knows what it's like to get away from You. And Father, when we get away from You and Your presence is no longer in our lives, there's only one thing to do. That's to turn back again, seeking You. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're here and you say, Brother Taylor, as a Christian, I'd have to admit, not because of sin, not because of anything evil, but like Mary and Joseph, maybe just a careless spirit, maybe just a crowded schedule, maybe just because I'm just constantly speeding all the time, I'm not as close to Jesus as I used to be. Brother Taylor, would you pray for me this morning? If that's you, would you lift up your hand? I'd like to pray for you. Anyone like that? Hands all over this place. Yes. Thank you for your honesty. If you hear this morning and say, Preacher, if I were to die right now, I may not have a perfect relationship with Jesus, but I do have a relationship with Jesus, and I know that my sins have been placed under the blood of Jesus Christ. I have been forgiven, and I know that I know that I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. If that's you, would you raise your hand by way of testimony this morning? Praise the Lord for you, many hands. If you're here this morning and say, Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand to that question because I don't know. In fact, if you were to ask me right now, I'd probably be one of those ones who would say, I guess so, I hope so, but I don't know so. But Preacher, you said that before I leave here, I could know so. Preacher, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me this morning? If that's you, would you simply lift up your hand? I've never been saved. No one has ever taken a Bible and showed me how to be saved. Would you simply slip up your hand high enough that I can see it, then put it right back down? I'd like to pray for you. I don't know that I'm going to heaven one day when I die. Preacher, pray for me. I'm concerned about my soul this morning. Father, I pray that you bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, would you stand to your feet? And as the piano begins to play, if God spoke to your heart, won't you come and seek him this morning? If you're not as close to Jesus as you used to be, won't you come and seek him again this morning? If you're here and need to be saved this morning, no one's ever taken a Bible and showed you from the scriptures how to receive Christ as your Savior, we have men here in the front waiting for you. If you come down and meet one of these ushers and say, I would like to be saved, they will take a Bible and show you from the scriptures how you can have a relationship with Jesus this morning. If that's you, the altars are open. This invitation is for you. Won't you come? The altars are open.